Welcome to Press Start, an NPR podcast on the art and craft of video games. I'm Kyle Orland.
I'm Ralph Cooper.
And I'm Rob Holt.
And today we thought we'd just take you through these winter and spring doldrums. Not many new releases coming out. Just tell you how we've been getting through it, what games we've been playing to pass the long months until the holiday season comes around. We get all the blockbuster games again. So, Ralph, why don't you start us off? What have you been playing?
Would like to thank, first of all, the people over at Edelman, because they have allowed me to get my 360 on, which is a ultimate edition already onto the DS and the Wiis and all the other stuff that we've had. So now
you're in Microsoft's pocket.
Yeah, man, I'm on the team.
Along with Rob.
Did you get the Elite?
It would just been too right that the only black guy would have gotten the black 360, but no. I got a 360 Premium, and they are also nice enough to let me get the wireless. So I've been Xbox Arcade. I've been playing a lot of Worms. It was the first thing I saw, and I jumped all over it. It's absolute fun, man. And it's hard, and it's one of those games where if you've got another smart alecky individual in your life, if they can get it, you know, it's a lot of fun. Because, it's not a lot of action. It's kind of slow, but it's a lot of fun.
And playing the computer is not really the same.
No, it's nowhere near the same.
Although you do get those little sound effects, the worms, like screaming for right. Mercy. The first of many.
I love it. That's great. It's a fun game. I also have been deep into the soccer. And, you know, I'm going to take this small time out, actually, to voice my frustration to all of you next-gen game makers out there, okay? You got to stop shorting us, all right? That's all it boils down to. You got to stop shorting us, man. All right, when we play the games on the Xboxes and we play the games on the PS2s, you can do all these neat, wonderful moves. You can twirl. You can step over. You can fake. In the basketball, you can throw in all kind of neat alley-oops and stuff like that. But all the X-Gen systems on the 360 as well as on the PS3, they just look good. They don't play as well. Really? They just look good. And they take out all of the extra fun stuff that you've come over the years to appreciate and understand with your games.
But they've been rushing it out, kind of. These systems are new. You know, they're trying to cash in.
But you know what? Okay, that's the wackest excuse ever. All right? I don't want to be able to see the hair on Ronaldinho's legs. I don't care about that. But I do want to see him be able to do the little step over, flick over moves that I'm used to seeing him do and watch him do in and out on the weekly. However, even with that being said, I've definitely been playing a lot of the Champions League that just came out, which is pretty much all European teams.
You played through the whole season?
I actually played and made my own ultimate team because I'm that nerdy. And I've also played through and won the Champions League, of course, with Arsenal. And that was a lot of fun.
How's the ultimate team doing?
Doing well. It's a little tough, though, because you have to build up. I just got Ronaldo and Pauleta as my strikers, and those are both pretty good guys. But before, I had two random off-team third bench player guys, and it was a struggle. It was definitely a little harder.
I just saw the review of Winning 11, the new version of Winning 11 for the 360 mm-hmm. on X-Play, and they were saying exactly what you were saying, that it didn't really make many improvements. Actually, no, they were saying something slightly different. They were saying it didn't look better
really?
Than
no.
the PS2 version, and, mm-hmm. and that it didn't Yikes. Have a lot of bells and whistles. But
that's a bad sign.
That's the first game in a long time that I've taken it back to the store because I was that really? Upset. Yeah, I was highly upset with Winning 11 because Winning 11 is to FIFA as NBA 2K whatever is to the Madden series, in the respect that Winning 11 came with a tutorial mode. Winning 11 had a way to play through and teach you how to play mm-hmm. the game and get you acclimated to the buttons and things like that, whereas FIFA, you never really had that. You just always had to jump in. The most you could do is hit start, go to controller menu, right. see the buttons, but you never could play through. Whereas with Winning 11, that was his benchmark. That was a thing. Be able to mm-hmm. score high in the training, you'll probably be a better player. On the next-gen systems, they don't have it.
So did they let you take it back? Do they hassle you about it?
I don't really hear a lot of hassle. I don't really hear a lot of hassle. I don't. It was more upsetting for me personally because I really put the time into the
it's a
game.
Dagger in your heart.
It hurt because I was waiting. And, you know, a couple podcasts back, I said that I'm waiting. That's what I thought. My
one
thing,
of those. You're a loyal fan.
Yeah. Prediction number one foiled. What else did I play? I've been playing NBA Street, which has also been a lot of fun. You can jump and dunk on anyone, which is great and outstanding.
I love those, like, 15-foot jumps where your feet are over the rim.
They have this one dunk where you can dunk the ball once, and if you let the ball go, you'll dunk it twice. You push it through the rim, and you get 2 points.
So you grab it as it comes through?
Yeah, you grab it with your legs, and then you spin back around, and you dunk it again. It's outstanding.
It's a realistic game.
Man, I've seen that just the other day in Southeast. I don't know what you guys are talking about. People are doing that
nowadays.
Do you
get double the points for that?
You do get double the points for the realism as far as how the people look and react and stuff. You actually play against WNBA players with NBA players, which I think is pretty neat.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah, and they can dunk on you too, which is not. Yeah, they can definitely bang on you.
Simon. Also realistic.
Yeah, outstanding.
You don't see many women athletes in video games.
Which is ill, because I've also been playing the table tennis where you can't create your own player, but the women players in there are really good.
They are.
Same with Street. The women players are very good. And now to switch systems on the Wii, you also play against like Natalie Gulbis and the Tiger Woods, which I've also been playing. Because the Tiger Woods is absolutely dope. Because it feels so realistic. Like you really are golfing and you do get tired like you would if you were golfing, because you're swinging your arms and you're putting and stuff like that. That's been an absolute ball.
I find when I play the Wii Sports golfing one, it doesn't really matter how you swing it. Like, all it detects is the power. It doesn't really detect left or right. Is it that sensitive?
As much hate as I gave EA for their next generation failures as far as FIFA and NBA Live and some of those other things, echoed by gamers everywhere right now, they nailed the Tiger.
Really?
They nailed the Tiger. How far are
you guys are pissing me off, because I still don't have
you
a Wii.
You got to go out like a Sunday morning.
Yeah, man. You're just going to have
to. No, I sleep on Sunday morning.
Just park yourself in front of the store. They're still selling out everywhere.
Though. Everywhere. Yo, that Tiger Woods is so worthwhile.
Yeah.
And I get all these games from Nintendo that I got Paper Mario last week, and I can't play it.
Yeah, I've been playing that.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. I've definitely messed with
it. It's such a. Rob, I'm sorry. But it's really a lot of fun.
It's a ball.
Well, I have it to look forward to.
Yeah, well, you have the paper. Did you get the 3D glasses, too, so you can see?
Yeah,
See, that was a lot of fun for me.
You could pretend to play Paper Mario. Just make, like, dolls and put them on popsicle sticks and
stop
say,
motion,
hi, I'm Mario.
A little YouTube action for you, maybe?
Yeah.
Do you want me to come out to D.C.? <your ass? laughs>
If you came out to D.C., you'd probably play the Wii before. You'd be too distracted.
That is true.
Yeah. Because
you know I'm a nonviolent person.
Yeah,
you kick our ass in Wii boxing.
In Wii boxing. How about that?
There you go. I don't know what my deal is today.
Yeah, the thing I love is they took out the random battles that were in the old Paper Mario games.
Right.
And I don't know how this convention got started, you know, back with the old RPGs, but I think it's time to get rid of it.
Yeah, like in Final Fantasy, you're just wandering around, and bam, the screen explodes.
And then you're done with the battle, and 5 seconds more of walking, and then, oh no, another battle.
Another
and
battle.
All the battles, you know, in most of these RPGs, the battles are like hit X, you know, 10 times, and wait 3 minutes for it to load, and you're done, you got a few XP. I love the games like Paper Mario where you can avoid the battles.
Right.
I like having the instant action, being able to jump on an enemy and it's dead, instead of jump on an enemy and then, two more minutes of battling.
But the one thing that I have an issue with, which is the play-in time takes too long. What I mean is the play-in time is like, all right, when I hit start, I want to be able to go into the game, get like quick tutorials along the way. Like if you hit a button and then you go, instead of like, you
it's
know.
Got like 10 minutes of story.
That's too much for me. I feel like, you know, fortunately I'm 31 and not 13, but I feel that 13-year-old side of me is like, yo, start the game. It just gets
I don't know. Back when I was 13, I actually had the time to go through these stories. Now, you know, I've got work. I've got a
but
life.
See, I say 13-year-olds now ain't waiting.
They're
not waiting.
All these kids today.
Yeah,
ADD.
You know, I appreciate that.
We'd like for you guys, anyone who's younger, to write us and tell us if you can deal with the 40-minute cutscenes in Metal Gear Solid, etc.
Metal Gear Solid's the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was a game around cutscenes.
Let me play the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling like, you know, not to jump systems again, but Gears is doing that to me right now. I'm playing Gears of War. And
I love them in Gears of War.
Really?
I just love like the interaction, because, yeah, they're cliche. Like, the actors
really
are cliche. But it's just, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're aware of the fact that it's cliche.
That's a cop-out.
True indeed.
Gears of War, it at least keeps it moving, really. It's not quite as ponderous as some other games. You know, they're over quick, and then you're back to the action.
Yeah, sometimes. And maybe the deeper I get, and I'm not knocking the game. I just don't like the cutscenes. I like being able to skip. Like Marvel Alliance, you can skip through.
Yeah, I think every game should offer you the option to skip.
Yeah.
No matter how good you think you are at a story, I've yet to see a game that really, you know, even reaches the level of a B-grade movie, mostly. There are a few exceptions, maybe. But
agreed.
Command & Conquer 3, one of the games I've been playing, I don't think you can skip the cutscenes the first time, but then subsequently you can. Mm. And it's like, okay, you have to watch. And basically, it's got Grace Park from, you know, who plays Sharon on Battlestar Galactica.
Mm.
And it's got Michael Ironside, and it's got, it's just the acting, you can tell they're like, oh my God, this is going to, I forgot, I read this somewhere. They're like, this will pay for my wood floors, you know? I think that was in PC Gamer that I read that. But yeah, it's just, the acting is just, it's cringeworthy. You know? Oh, and
really?
Josh Holloway, the guy who plays Sawyer on Lost, he's in it.
Yeah?
And he's just like,
bad?
Oh, you got to go to the you got to take out the GDI. You know, it's hilarious to watch this stuff.
So these are good actors given bad performances, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Ironside's great, and, you know, most of these guys are actually pretty good actors.
That's surprising. I don't know.
It's a video game. I mean, like, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not a movie.
I guess their heart's not in it. Really.
Right, yeah. So, well, I mean, not even so much the heart being in it, but, I mean, it's the continuity. You know what I'm saying? It's the idea that, all right, if these were all just one great scene, you know what I'm saying, like a good 30-second short or, you know, not 30-second, but a 5-minute short or something, it would probably rock. Because it's always through, but, you know, it's a 5-minute short cut into like 30, a minute and 2-second intervals, and, you know, it plays along weird, so it doesn't come across the same.
What's my motivation in telling the player to hit X to go to the next checkpoint? That's hard to get the emotion behind that line, I guess. I can see your point.
Right, right.
But, you know, the good thing, I've been playing Trauma Center on the Wii, which is a great game, and you just hit the minus button. During the cutscenes, and it just zooms by all the text, like, real quick. So quick you can't read it. Mm. And even in the middle of the operations, where people, they'll keep chiming in and telling you things you already know, sometimes if you played it, you know, 10 times over, but you can hit the minus button and go into skip mode, and it'll just ignore these things, and you can get right to the game, no interruptions.
That's
developers, if you're listening, put that in.
I like that. What else have you been playing, Kyle?
I'm a little embarrassed to admit it. I've been playing Clubhouse Games for the Nintendo DS. Have you guys played this at all? It's a collection
of,
like...
No, but it looks interesting.
It's a collection of, like, board and card games. They've got Bridge, Hearts, Spades. This is not the kind of stuff usually you think of when you're playing video games, but it's really addicting. I don't know. It's something simple about it, just being able to pick up the cards with the stylus and, you know, actually interact with them instead of using a D-pad. And the buttons, it's a lot of fun. I've been finding a lot of new board games on there that I've never played before. You try and figure out the strategy. It's got a neat little tutorial mode, kind of, for some of them. And the one thing that I really hate about it, though, is there's no Wi-Fi support. If there's one game that's crying out for Wi-Fi support, you can only play the computer so many times.
True.
In that,
true.
And, you know, the computer makes some really boneheaded moves in a lot of these things. If this had Wi-Fi support, you know, I'd sit on the couch, and be watching a TV show, and, you know, you play Hearts with a random stranger, you know, 1,000 miles away. Without the Wi-Fi support, you know, I've got a deck of cards. I can play these games otherwise.
You know, when you speak of Wi-Fi support, I must say, once again, as a 31-year-old grown man, that I've never, ever really felt the need to play Pokemon until they sent us the Pokemon
with
a headset that touts it as basically a Skype phone.
It's a cell phone for kids.
It is a cell phone for kids. It has VoIP. And, you know, maybe the next podcast or a podcast or two from now, you know, maybe we can all get together and actually have our DSs in the room with each other and see if we can actually
get that out.
That's like the video game Mythbusters right there. Like, we got to really figure out how hot that is. Because realistically, if it does work, everybody I know is going to have to go out and get Pokemon.
just use it as a cell phone.
I'm trying to tell you, it's the new MySpace, okay? For real. That's just nasty. I don't know. That's just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. I haven't actually tried it out, but the thing is, don't you have to you have to register their friend code, and then they have to register your friend code in there?
It's like putting your number in a Nextel for Direct Connect. I'm fine with that. That's great.
I guess so, but, you know, if
they could have made it a lot easier.
I don't know. I understand what they're trying to do with the parental...
Yeah.
Fine. And I haven't actually tried it out, but I have a feeling that it's not really going to replace cell phones.
It may not, but I mean, okay, first of all, it's free.
It is free.
All right, they're not sitting up here saying we're going to charge you guys for it.
That's free. You can't complain too much.
You can't complain too much. And, like, I don't know how much easier they can make it. It's free. All you got to do is be in the right place with a Wi-Fi around.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
No, entering the friend's code is what's difficult, you know.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's almost as bad as putting in the, and if there is a complaint, Nintendo's whole thing of online code thing sucks.
That's what I mean.
Nah, I can't argue with that. I mean, even with the Wii, registering your Wii and registering somebody else's Wii, they have to send you an email, and, you know, there's real no notification in there, you know what I'm saying?
If they had something like friend requests with the Xbox, that's all we need to make it okay.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that.
You know, I was reading, there's this new technology, WiMAX. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Yep.
Where it's Wi-Fi across cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I really think that's going to open up these things, because right now with the PSP and the DS, you're tethered to a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Right.
If you don't have one, you can't do online multiplayer.
Right.
If you've got the whole city is a Wi-Fi hotspot, then you're walking around anytime. You know, you got 5 minutes to spare. Oh, let's set up a game of, you know, Metroid.
Yeah, it's funny you even say that, because with Metroid Hunters, Your DS shakes if you're near other hunters.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, that is so cool.
If you got the rumble pack in it.
Right, yeah. If you got the rumble pack in it, it shakes. If you if it doesn't shake, I think it makes a noise or something like that to let you know that somebody else is near.
Okay.
Yeah. The only problem is with the DS, they haven't made a DS rumble pack. So the only rumble pack...
Or DS Lite.
Right, you know what I'm saying? DS Lite, thank you. So the DS Lite, you use an old DS one, and so it sticks out.
Oh, I saw one, actually. There's a third party making one that actually fits in the DS Lite.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's
I'll send you the link to that.
Yeah, I'm going to need
that. We'll put that up on the PressStartPodcast.com as well.
I need that.
For you DS Lite people. I'll have to track it down.
Fanboys.
What else? I've been playing... this is kind of my favorite time of console generations because, you know, while there aren't many new games coming out for the PS3 and the Wii and the Xbox 360, kind of a drought there, but this is the time when there's clearance on all the PS2... and Xbox and GameCube games.
True.
And, you know, a lot of them are like, you know, High Heat Baseball 2003 for $1. Things no one's going to want to buy. But if you really look, you can find games that you missed the first time around. They'll be like $5, $10. And you really can't turn them down.
That's true.
At that price. So I found Hulk Ultimate Destruction for the Xbox, which I had never played before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was $5 and I picked it up. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot like Crackdown is what it reminds me of. You just run around destroying everything. It's really smooth. You can jump like 50 feet in the air on top of buildings. You level up things. And the great thing about it is you can destroy everything. I hate it in games when you run into a wall and you're like punching at the wall or you fire a gun at the wall and nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Because they haven't programmed it in.
Right.
And I understand it's hard to program all this stuff in, but...
That's a buzzkill.
Yeah, it really takes you out of the moment.
Right, especially when you're telling me already that everything is destructive. Like, you can't tell me that everything is destructive, and then I go to destruct something, and it does not destruct.
There have been some, and, you know, Hulk is one of the games that does it well, and there have been others. Mm. So it's not across the board, but it just smacks of lazy programming, and it really detracts from the whole experience.
Agreed.
But Hulk was very good about that.
I like to take you up on the whole, like, finding the bargain game thing.
Because
one of the things that I really do a lot, especially with the electronic boutiques and stuff like that, where they have the specials where if you trade in two games, you know, to give you whatever. And I always try and get, like, some more random off game because of that. Even though it really wasn't that random and off of a game, but that's how I ended up getting the table tennis for the 360 off of that.
Oh, yeah. Because it was already cheap.
Yeah, it was already cheap.
But now it's even cheaper.
Oh, man. It's a great, great game once again, but... The one thing I can say I like about the next-gen system so far is that how just about every game that I've played has an online option. And I like that. Just about every game, regardless of how innocuous or how silly it might seem, all of them most of the time have an
online
option.
It really helps the longevity because with a lot of these games, you can only play against the computer so long before it gets
on your nerves. And with the Marvel Ultimate Alliance, for example, they just released something where you can download new characters and a new board.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Right. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff where it's like after you've beaten the game, it's like, I might pick it back up.
You know, one of the things, a lot of people are getting mad, though, about, I don't know if you heard Guitar Hero 2 for the Xbox 360, where you can download the old Guitar Hero 1 tracks, but they're really expensive.
Hmm.
It's, I think, $6 for 3 songs.
Wow.
Or something like that. Do you know the exact pricing, Rob, by any chance?
No, but I read Penny Arcade's commentary on
a lot
that. They were like, that's just extraordinarily expensive.
A lot of people have been really mad about it. I think it would cost over $100 to just get the Guitar Hero 1 songs on Guitar Hero 2. Now, they add stuff. You know, it's got high definition now. It's got the second bass track.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who've already paid for this and paid $90 for the Guitar Hero 2 on the Xbox 360, I don't know. I think they've got to rethink the pricing on this downloadable content stuff.
That's pretty
tough. I think that everyone is still sort of getting used to like what the market will bear for that because
it's so
new. Know, remember the horse armor for
horse
Oblivion
armor,
was $2 or whatever and then you know subsequent add-ons weren't that expensive. And so I think that they're sort of still feeling their way.
Yeah. Rob, what games have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of puzzle games lately.
Really?
Luminous 2, I just got, and it's just, I am at the point, back in 1990, I was seeing Tetris blocks falling from the sky. Well, now I see the luminous blocks from the sky. In fact, in my sleep, like right when I was half asleep last night, I was like, there are actually only 4 different permutations of block combinations. I read that somewhere it's deterministic. Like, if you put all the blocks in a certain place, you can always win.
Oh, yeah. You could probably do that with Tetris, too, but, you know, we're not robots. So.
I just love it. The only thing is there's this song in there. In Luminous 2, that plays, it's the second song called Stroll Around the World, and it pisses me off.
Really?
It is so bad. It's like somebody's screaming, like they're trying to be like heavy metal. They're trying to be like, and it just sucks.
I remember
like
that
just,
one.
Yeah, listen, if you play Luminous 2, just listen to it.
On what difficulty is that?
Beginner.
Oh, see, that's... I'm way past.
Nice.
No, see, I can't even finish Beginner yet because I'm still getting into it. But one of the other games I'm loving is Puzzle Quest. Have you guys played Puzzle Quest yet?
I've been hearing a lot about it, but I haven't gotten it's just like a jewel matching game with RPG elements, is what I hear.
Yes, and the RPG elements add so much because you're jewel matching with somebody else, like a CPU based player. And I know there's multiplayer, but I haven't explored them yet, and I can't wait to explore them once I get used to it. I mean, like, you could be playing, and the goal, it's sort of like a combination of Magic the Gathering, Bejeweled, and, you know, other RPG-like elements, and it has other RPG elements in it. And so, when you match skulls, you take away damage, and they start with a certain number of hit points that your opponents do and you do, and then there's this one battle that I just keep fighting with this guy who can heal himself if he has a certain amount of blue mana, and you get blue mana by, you know, I'm destroying blue jewels.
Uh-huh.
So you prevent him from gathering blue mana, or he'll heal himself. And my character's a mage, so he's got a mana burn spell. So when he starts to get enough mana to heal himself, I burn his mana away, and it is just amazing. It's just like, it's so much fun. I have the DS version because I like playing with the stylus, but I hear the PSP version has better visuals, you know, because the screen's better there.
So this is kind of taking away the matching games from the mothers and the grandmothers, and trying to make them appeal to the hardcore gamers here.
Yes, and I think it might also sort of maybe get them sort of more into the RPGs, you know. But the thing is, I love matching games. Like Chuzzle Deluxe is one of my favorite games.
Ralph is shaking his head here.
Ralph, the reason why I play these is because every once in a while you like to play these games that are sort of mindless and get you in this zen state, you know. And it's like, because I'm sitting here playing World of Warcraft, where I have to remember every single detail about my shaman, you know. It's like, and then I'll play the other things that I'm playing, like Supreme Commander and Dawn of War, Dark Crusade. It's like, after a while, you know, you don't want to worry about hit points for units and talent trees, and you just want to, like, just mindlessly play something, and these are just totally fit the bill.
It's like filet mignon versus a McDonald's hamburger.
Except kind. I don't eat McDonald's.
Well, but you know what I mean. You couldn't eat filet mignon every meal.
You could.
That's true. It would be far too rich.
I think you'd, yeah.
You'd be sick or something?
You'd get tired of it eventually.
You would?
Too much of a good thing. You ever hear that, Ralph?
I guess.
So I've also been playing...
Ralph is the gourmand.
Yeah.
I've also been playing Supreme Commander, which is an excellent real-time strategy game for the PC from Chris Taylor, Gas Powered Games. And, you know, I'm sort of used to games that have a fewer amount of units, you know, or you can only have, you know, 30 units on the screen. Well, this, the you know, I'm like, oh, I actually have to create 20 light attack bots to go assault that. You know, I'm not used to creating, like, 50 robots to go assault something. I'm used to creating, like, 10. And so you just have to think really, really big in this game. And when you can zoom in and zoom out instantly, and it actually is the first PC game that has true dual monitor support,
wow,
which I love, you know, because I've got two monitors, and you can see, put the mini map in one, or actually it's a mega map because it takes up a whole screen.
Do you need a real super PC to run that?
I'm about to say.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to have a nice machine.
You have one, of course.
I have one, yes.
So that means for us underlings here, we'll never really see
a game. Is this
like
game worth upgrading to, you know, $2,000 into your PC for?
Well, it alone, no. But, you know, there are lots of great games out there that require Mondo PCs like Command & Conquer and Stalker, you know, so...
It's only going to keep...
And Oblivion.
And it's going to keep getting worse, you know. Speaking of having a lot of things on the screen, I've been playing MotorStorm on the PS3. And
all the mud on the screen, right?
Getting the mud on the screen. But just the amount of cars there at the start and how fast they move. You see that many detailed things on the screen, and you've kind of been conditioned to think, oh, it's going to be like 10 frames per second. It's really going to chug along, be choppy. But the PS3 can really push those polygons. You compare it to something on the Wii, like Excite Truck, and where there's 6 cars total, and maybe you'll have one car on the screen, and so much less detailed. I mean...
It does not stutter.
Graphics are not, you know, of course, the most important thing, but it really does add to the experience in this case. It makes it more realistic.
So what about the loading time on that? How quick is it? A quick load time on it, or is it still a little laggish?
It's relatively quick from what I can tell. The PS3 is a real powerful system, you know, for all the hell we give it for all the things Sony's done wrong. MotorStorm shows that it can really do things that the other systems can't.
Yeah, that game is absolutely gorgeous.
Have you tried any of the fighters yet on the PS3?
No, I haven't. Tekken Dark Resurrection is the one I've heard.
That's the one I have. And it, I mean, it, like we were saying last week, it is arcade perfect. I mean, it's just so responsive. You know, I was thinking when we had the Bluetooth controllers that it wouldn't be quick and responsive, but man, it is. And it just... The art style is just gorgeous for that, and it's really, really neat. It doesn't have all the cutscenes and things, but you know what? When you just want to fight... Then it's fine, you know?
Is it still Tekken? Is it significantly different from the old Tekkens?
No. And it's $20 for God's sake.
Well,
that's... Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You can only get to the online store. You can't find it in the mm-hmm. in the physical
stores.
Wow,
that's high.
That's the thing. The pricing really affects how you appreciate a game sometimes, I find.
I agree.
If they were charging $50 for the same old Tekken, people are like, eh.
Beyond Good and Evil, remember.
Yeah.
Well, nice anytime you think about it, it was a cheap game, but it was a hell of a game.
Psychonauts I found for real cheap.
Right.
Like I said, go to the bargain bin, so you're GameStop. They got this whole $9.99 and under thing. They're mm-hmm. just trying to get rid of games. You know.
Also, GameTap has a lot of these things. Like, GameTap has Beyond Good and Evil and all the Sam & Max games, you know, all for $10 a month.
The only problem with that, I feel, is if someday I need that $10 a month,
right.
then I no longer own those games.
Right.
You know, I have GameTap and I liken it right now, but that kind of bothers me that I'm really just renting these games.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't bother me.
It's a big library, I know, you know, and it's a fair price they charge, but it's...
See, I don't know. That's why I've been on the Xbox Arcade so hard.
Yeah, like then
the,
you buy it.
Yeah, because you buy it and you have it. And so even if your online goes down, you can still pull these games up and play them. And I really like that about the arcade because my online has been kind of trippy.
Yeah.
It brings something to it. The fact that, all right, well, let's say I don't feel like playing Champions League or I don't feel like playing Icon or I don't feel like playing whatever. All right, what if I just want to have it on and find something to do? And
that's
what we're
saying, like Puzzle Quest, like Clubhouse games.
Yeah, no, I feel you. With me and the puzzle games, man, I have to say, the puzzle game is not so much my thing. I play Brain Age. That's about as puzzly as I'm going to get. For me, when I want games that help me zone out, I play really great, factual, knowledgeable games like Killzone Liberation on the PSP because that helps me clear my mind. That really kind of airs me out.
Did you like Tetris at all, Ralph?
Actually, if there is a puzzle game that I will say definitely takes up my spare time, it's Magnetica. Hmm. I have not been able to tear myself away from Magnetica.
That is absolutely in that genre. I love that game, too.
The quest. How many quests do you have? It's like 60. I want to say it's 60 on the quest mode, and I'm at 58 or 59.
Jeez.
And then what will you do once you're done?
I probably won't pick it up anymore, which is why I haven't played it.
You just want to be 100%. You just want to be completed.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man. Like, after I beat a game, I normally won't play it again.
Really?
Depending on what the game is and, like, depending on how thorough I've gotten with it.
See, that's the thing I find with puzzle games. Usually that doesn't happen. They're addicting enough that, you know, it's just the gameplay, really. It's not the fact that you want to see the next cutscene. It's not the fact that you want to say, oh, I beat it. It's that the gameplay is fun.
I hear you. On the puzzle games especially, like, because Magnetica, even if I beat the quest mode, I could still go back and just play it in comparison to, like, an Elite Beat, you know, once I beat it, I beat it. You know, there's not much more I'm going to go back and do, regardless of how much I like Jamiroquai and the Dance Dance. You know, once I've gotten it down once, I'm not going to go back and try and tap it out again.
Yeah, it's with a lot of games.
Yeah, yeah. But I understand you guys' puzzle fascination. And even though I make faces that, you know, of course the world cannot see when you guys describe some of these things, I'd be a lie to say that I don't sit there while I'm sometimes cutting the podcast late at night and be like, all right, let me go and look this up and see what Robin and Kyle are talking about. So, yeah, I do go and check the games after a while. Yeah.
There's a good PC demo for Puzzle Quest, and it's only the first 7 levels, and it's Flash. So, you know, it can play on pretty low system requirements. It's worth checking out on the PC, but just do a search for Puzzle Quest demo. And that's how I heard about it.
Or go to PressStartPodcast.com, where we will post the link.
Where'd you say go again?
That is PressStartPodcast.com, the official home of the Press Start Podcast online.
Oh, word. Yeah, I've heard about that. That's it. That's all we were going to talk about today. We've pretty much covered with Rob, Kyle, and myself have been playing on different platforms.
We got to get back and play more games.
Yeah, definitely.
Tired of talking.
Yeah, I left Gears of War on at the house, actually. Until next time, this is Ralph Cooper for Kyle and Rob. I say peace.
Later.